Hello and welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, on Smart Speaker, and of course on our podcast. I'm Aidy Packham and we are in your ears in association with Flowers Unlimited. Well, it's been 3 weeks. 3 weeks since we last kicked a ball in anger, and it feels like a lifetime. But there has been other stuff to get excited about. First, in the international break, Ferdi Kalayoglu scored the only goal against Romania to see Turkey through to a playoff final against Kosovo, which they won, and on to the World Cup, where they'll be everyone's dark horses. Yassin Ayari will also be heading to the States this summer under... Yassin Ayari will also be heading to the States this summer as Sweden, under the management of Graham Potter, also qualified. One team that had already qualified and quite possibly should really be the dark horses is Japan. And I'm not ashamed to say I celebrated wildly as Karu Matoma scored to beat England. Also this week, we're seeing Roberto De Zerbi return to the Premier League as he tries to keep Spurs up. His first home game in charge will be against us next week. And whilst there'll be no men's trip to Wembley for the this season, there might just be for the women's as the She-Girls beat Arsenal to set up a semi-final at Liverpool. And if they win that, they will be going to Wembley. Joining me today is... Alan Wears. Hello, Alan Wears.
Hello. Yeah, this is kind of a mini roar, which is, I suppose, a little sort of grumble or a little growl or something like that. But yeah, it does seem a long time. But we're going to have to get used to this because in future, FIFA and therefore UEFA have deemed that we're going to be having 2-week-long international breaks. So 2 weekends in a row of not having this. And I think, I kind of prefer this. The only beef I have about it is the timing of it. Now, the first one that happens, and I think it's from next year onwards, or sorry, this year, i.e. next season, is that it's at the end of September, which means the season's barely got started and we have to stop. My preference would be, you know, sort of end of October, beginning of November, and using that particular break. But in the great scheme of things, I can't say I particularly mind this 2-week break. It's something we don't have to get nervous about.
It annoys me. It really, really annoys me because it's like we've already had this at the beginning of the season where you just felt like you just couldn't get any sort of momentum going because it was so stop start. And then just as the season had got going and that we'd actually started picking up wins and we're on a really good run, you know, the momentum stops because you're not playing for 3 weeks. It's just really annoying. I mean, obviously, if you're on a losing streak, that changes that narrative a little bit, and something you might actually need a break to try and get some bodies back and that sort of thing. So I totally understand it from that perspective, but it is frustrating.
Well, let's put it so, would you prefer it if it was, as has been previously, a week, then a sort of 3 or 4 weeks of football, and then another week, or would you prefer those two blank weeks to be put together? I mean, I suppose it's probably just one of those things that we will know when we get more used to it.
I suppose so. I mean, one thing that we have got used to is the fact that we're in the Premier League, okay? And obviously,
as blasé are we?
I know, but we have no divine right to anything. So I'm gonna caveat that with that. But in the Premier League, obviously there are less games in the Championship, League One, League Two. There are a lot more games, so you do feel like you're playing a lot more regularly. I mean, but with the Premier League, it does feel that there is quite long gaps between games. Which is good. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before, Al, in the fact that it does give the opportunity to people to go and see their local side. Like, for instance, like Worthing, who have had a brilliant Easter.
They have.
Sitting top of National League South and got a very, very good chance of winning that league now and actually getting promoted to the National League.
But I am going to caveat your point here, and I totally get it, in as much as, yes, there's fewer games in the Premier League, but actually it feels a little bit more sparse for us because also we're not in Europe. Now, other clubs may or may not suffer, and in that sense, it should actually better prep us, and certainly for the final run-in, that our players shouldn't be quite so knackered, and we can focus on Premier League only, whereas certain other people whom we'll hear about presently are still plying their trade across the continent, and it knackers the players out.
Yeah,
And
it
we and
does.
more to the point, we've benefited from that. Nottingham Forest twice, Liverpool, we've got some points on the back of those things that are happening.
Yeah, I get that, and I'm just gonna put out a challenge for both of us not to use the word caveat again in this show.
Why, what's wrong with it? It's a good word.
It's an excellent word. I think that the caveat count is
Oh, is it
because
too much? Well, have we
we'll
done it already?
pretend it's a very grand tie. It is a cravat.
Well, I could use its literal meaning, and I say, with the beware that, but yeah. So, what do you want to talk about then?
Okay, well, I mean, let's start with the international breaks and the games that did take place that actually had some meaning, and that was with Turkey. They have qualified for the World Cup. Obviously, we have a vested interest with Ferdi Kalioglu playing in that team and scoring the goal
Yeah.
that beat Romania. And it was a great goal for
It
him as
was. And
well.
let's face it, to be fair, we only care about these things when they're Brighton players.
Absolutely, I have no shame in saying
I
that whatsoever.
mean, good luck to Turkey. Good luck to everyone playing. But, in the great scheme of things, we only hold interest. I mean, let's face it, if we were still a second or third division club and there were no Brighton players in the World Cup, I put it out there, how much, I mean, I think probably more might focus their attention on England, but my point would be, how much interest would there be amongst Brighton fans for this World Cup, but for the fact there are Brighton players in there? I can't answer for everyone, and everyone else will have a different answer, but it's just one of those you throw out there. And let's face it, last time around, we had a vested interest in giving the monkeys about that because one of our players won it.
And I may have mentioned that once or twice
Who
before.
knew? Who knew?
I know, who knew? But it could happen again.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Andy Naylor's done a count. I think he said there was something like 11 that are going. I'm not sure. I mean, well, you can do your stat for that another day, but
But I mean, I'm delighted for Ferdi. I mean, he's
yeah,
certainly going to be up in the running to be player of the season this year.
I think so.
And after his stop-start season last season, it's just a delight for him to do that, and obviously, doing what he hasn't done for Brighton this season and score,
Yeah, but not for the
which
want of trying.
is not for the want of trying. One person who has scored for us this year is Yassin Ayari. He'll also be heading out to the States this summer, under the guidance of Graham Potter. Who has had a bit of a renaissance with Sweden, and
Well,
they
let's
were.
face it. Sorry, I mean, we say a renaissance. The fact is, he did very well with us, bailed on us. Which is upset. It does not mean to say he's a bad manager. I mean, let's face it, when we talk about Cucurella, he's a pantomime villain, but he's still a bloody good defender. That doesn't change just because we don't like him anymore. So when you say Renaissance, what we're actually saying is the aberration of going to Chelsea and West Ham.
I was talking more about Sweden,
Well,
actually.
Sweden's Renaissance is yeah, because Christ knows what happened with their previous bloke. I mean, to be
Well,
honest, I'm astonished
basically,
they're going. He's done a brilliant job.
they went through qualifying, and they attained a massive total of 2 points, and they are still going to the World Cup through their Nations League qualifying place. So,
Yeah.
one person. Who won't be heading out to the Jamboree in the States this summer is
Jamboree
Diego.
is putting it mildly, mate. I think we're worried about sort of government-led riots, but carry on.
I fear
Let's
for
not
that
go there.
fellow, but
Literally, let's not go
yeah,
there.
let's not go there. Diego Coppola-Allen, he was itching to get out of the Albion because he felt his World Cup place may be in jeopardy.
Itching to
And
get out, I think, is a little unfair. I totally understood his reasoning. And I totally get that. And let's face it, it was an Englishman and a Dutchman getting in his way. I understood his reason. The club understood his reasoning. I mean, there's a side of me that thinks, okay, well, seeing as your country's completely mashed it up now, can we have you back? Because frankly, we're still a little bit light on cover. I mean, and especially as Lewis Dunk is suspended. So it'd be nice to think we could get him back. And the days of having a month-long loan rather than a season or half season, anyway, so it's I'm not going to gloat over him because it's an unfortunate thing, but I could see his reason, I could see his stance, so could the club, and I still think he has plenty to offer us. And it's a shame for him, but what does it say for Italian football right now?
Well, the fact that he wasn't in the match day squad for either of their qualifying
Well, there's
games,
that as well.
kind of, it's just a little bit. I don't know. I it just annoys me a little bit, Al, because it's like,
Why?
I just think that if he had stayed, I think he would have got opportunities. I think I'm not saying he was necessarily in the pecking order above Boscali, but. In terms of his actual presence and what we saw from him in cameos, I was really impressed with him, and I thought that,
Oh, he's a very good
and
defender, isn't he?
he's still a Brighton player. He'll be back ne
Yeah.
next year, next season. But I mean, I just think that if it's just, I get it's a World Cup year, and you want to play for your country at the biggest tournament in the world, but.
It's the exact same reason as to why Pascal Gross came back here.
It is.
I mean,
It
the
is.
fact is that Gross has probably a better chance. Well, he has a better chance of going to the World Cup because his country's going, but yeah, I mean, it's the exact same reason. So I totally get it.
But
And
that was a
there is
permanent
that
move,
thing
though.
of wanting to represent your country on the highest stage. I totally get it.
Yeah, absolutely. But okay, well, let's move on to the friendly game that I just laughed. I just absolutely laughed.
I think because of where we live and the press and the media and all the hype and all the stuff and the circus that surrounds top flight football in this country and therefore international football, English international football, leads me to believe that our presence is an automatic given right and things like that. But the point is that for whatever reason, and I don't know if there's a lack of motivation, I don't know if there's just a lack of quality, I don't know what it is. And a defeat against Japan, let's face it, we've gone into other World Cup tournaments on the back of some pretty, mediocre performances and results. And you like to think, well, if you're gonna cock it up, do it in the rehearsal, not in the actual play itself. However, Mitoma's thieving off the ball off Cole Palmer. And then running through the
I love
England
it.
midfield like it wasn't there because it wasn't there, playing a glorified 1-2 with the winger and then slotting at home where incidentally none of the defenders picked him up. It's the kind of thing that if that was Brighton, you just think no one but no one picked him up. What on earth were we doing? Now we could say, hang on, it's our team because it's England, but there is, like you say, this kind of disdain for not necessarily someone representing your national team, but those within that circus. You think, do you want to be part of this circus? Do you want to actually follow this circus to that extent? Yeah, there's a certain level of Schadenfreude. However, I would be annoyed if that sort of thing happened actually in the tournament.
I was just delighted for Carew.
Well, there's that as well.
I mean, it's like, the guy is just absolute box office for the Albion, isn't he? I mean, we can see by the
You've
sheer
spent
number of
ages
Japanese
moaning about him.
that turn up like every week, and it's just the guy is just a joy, and we haven't really seen an awful lot of Carew over the last year or so, I guess, because of he's been playing, clearly been playing through injury. But the last few weeks, he's
Oh,
been
his
showing,
cameo against Liverpool was off the scale.
he's just been showing signs that he's just getting back to his best. And that performance in that game as well, he was just buzzing all over the place, and
He
he was
was.
just absolutely wonderful to watch. I mean, Japan are really, really fun to watch. They
They
are
are.
great. They
But I
just
thought they were
everything's
great
just
in
happened.
they were great in
Everything
the
so
previous
fast.
tournament. They were great in the previous tournament as well. And Mitoma played unbelievably. He was playing as a sub in those days, like he was for USG. And you take two looks at him and think, what on earth is he doing not starting? And think thankfully, playing in the Premier League and making those high-end, high-quality finishes and assists and what have you has put him on the map. He is recognised internationally. So when you see the reaction across social media of Mitoma scoring against England, scoring a very fine, very well-taken goal, I mean, it's not about, oh, there his value goes up. I don't give a monkey's about his transfer fee or about, well, it's great when Brighton want to sell him. It doesn't work that way for me. This is actually about, as you say, enjoying watching let's face it, one of our own.
Yeah, because I mean, there's been times this year where watching the Albion hasn't been much fun.
Yes.
And it's just to have the joy of that magician of a footballer, like on top form. It's just
Put yourself in
I just can't wait. I've missed him.
this bracket. Okay, we've only had him, it seems longer, but we've only had him for about 3 or 4 years. But let's put it this way. Come the day that he leaves, he retires, or whatever it is, people will say in 5, 10, 15 years' time, whatever it might be, I saw probably the greatest winger, and I am including Vicente in this, by the way. I saw the greatest ever winger, possibly on the planet, but certainly the club has ever seen. And he would ghost past people and he would make them look stupid. And you are going to sit there almost in sort of wistful disbelief for actually having been in the same stadium, in the po same postcode, watching live one of the greatest players you've ever seen go past players for fun. And I mean, it's for me, it's just a case of we'll enjoy him. And if we've got another 2 or 3 years left in him, because the fella's what, 28, 29 now, how long can a winger play at that level? So let's say we've got another 2, 3 years left in him. You know, these are times to cherish. These are times to so appreciate. You know, and we look back on things like, oh, I saw Mark Lawrenson play, I saw Peter Ward play, I saw Frank Worthington play, Bobby Zamora's got hatfuls of goals. He's one of those where you actually sort of sit back and you sort of, I mean, it's a ridiculous thing to say. You sit in your rocking chair and you tell your children and your grandchildren about, let me tell you about this little Japanese winger, because he was absolutely brilliant. And you think, but Daddy, was he really that good? Yes. And you can, and I think even now you can actually still look on him with those Vaseline-lensed eyes. What a great player we've got.
I don't know this is 100% true, but I do have it on very, very good authority that when that the time we were signing Carew, and look at, and doing the due diligence on that, there was another player we were looking at the same time, that this little Georgian fella called Kvaratskhelia.
Right.
Our radar was completely on fire at that particular moment in
I
time.
think it's well understood, and it has been for a long time. You know, let's face it, when it comes to the recruitment, we have far more hits than misses these days.
I mean, Kvaratskhelia is just basically the most joyful player in the world to watch at the moment. He's on
Yeah,
fire. He's just absolutely brilliant.
quiet, but
Absolutely brilliant.
yeah.
Okay, you are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online, radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. The show is brought to you in association with Flowers Unlimited, Alan.
Yes, 175 to 177 Portland Road. I've made use of their services this week. We have a member of staff who's leaving. I know she won't listen to this, so therefore I can say that they happily obliged us with a lovely spray for her for when she has her leaving due next week. Yeah, flowers, chocolate, champagne, any prizes, any presents you wish to get for your loved ones or your hated ones. I mean, what do they? What was the old Les Dawson one? Say it with flowers, send your mother-in-law a Triffid. I'm not going to go down that road, and I don't condone that gag one bit.
I did actually see Les Dennis yesterday. True story.
Why? How?
He was appearing in Waitress at the Theatre Royal.
Fantastic. Sorry, lost my thread there. So
And
yes,
they
do.
definitely got their flowers at the end of the show. Whether they got them from Flowers Unlimited at 167 Portland Road or not, is neither
Shall I
there.
do that? Shall I do the address properly then?
Yes, do that
175
properly, yeah.
to 177 Portland Road, Hove. Or you can go to flowersunlimitedbrighton.co.uk, and don't forget to tell them you're an Albion season ticket holder, because it means you'll then get 20%, which is incidentally exactly what I did yesterday.
I'm Dean Gallagher of Brighton Hove and District Samaritans. Many of us go to football without a care in the world, as an escape from our everyday lives. However, many of us carry our burdens with us into the game and beyond. If you feel you need to speak with someone, call a friend. Or if you see a friend in trouble, please do reach out. Being truly listened to can make such a difference. You can call the Samaritans on 116 123 or see us on a home match day. Let's kick off the conversation.
Yeah, of course. Okay, now, we have a friend, Al, and he
Hang on,
has his.
is this a James Taylor moment? Just call out my name.
Yeah, he unfortunately has this terrible affliction of happening to support Crystal Palace. I caught up with this particular person earlier today, and this is what me and Jim Daly had to say. Hello, Jim, how are you?
Not too bad. First and last time I'd be called a royal virgin, but let's stay
It's
away from
not
that. But
actually,
it
because the
is.
first time you came on the show sounded a little years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, that's all of our new guests are known as Royal Virgins, but you are not one of those. But
No.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist the gag, to be honest.
What's the opposite of a raw virgin? I'm a loose raw guest. Let's just move on from that before I libel my
Well, I
friend.
did have things written about wartime truces and and the guns are stopped and the tanks are gone. It's like. It is Christmas
I don't
Day
think.
and the truce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The troops are podding in no man's land
So
between the trenches.
basically, Jim, you're here to talk because you're on tour. You are a comedian, and you will be appearing in Brighton at the end of April. We'll talk about that first. I mean, do we have to talk about football? I mean, you've just beaten. As we record this, you've just beaten Fiorentina, and I mean, you're into, I mean, let's face it, you did get beaten by a brand of soap you can buy in Lidl's at one point. But it is, and I mean, joking apart, you are in the wrong competition because I mean, all Brighton fans hate the fact that you won something, and you'll rub it in, et cetera, et cetera. But we're just jealous, let's face it.
But you would do the same, and quite
We're,
rightly.
yeah,
You would do the same.
absolutely.
It's what football fans do, it's what
But I
rivals
mean,
do. We are, yeah.
your admin errors aside, there's a, I mean, Jim, if you go to Jim's YouTube channel, of which he has 187,000 subscribers, as I've just found out, there is a thing, one of your videos on there, which is about the admin errors of Crystal Palace over the years, like from years that you were founded and spelling your name wrong on a shirt and such like. But this is what this one's right up there, as in you're now in the wrong competition.
To be honest, I think it's just continuing a well-trodden trend for Crystal Palace, which is to get the admin wrong and screw things up. Yes, we spelled our name wrong on our badge one season for longer than we like to admit. Yes, our ultras spray painted the wrong team bus one game. So we had to drive back with Crystal Palace FC spray painted inside of our bus, which is what we do. And actually, I would say not checking our emails. And then going into the wrong competition is very much a Crystal Palace thing to do. Listeners who are Brighton fans who will come to my show will be delighted to know a lot of this features in the show. There's a whole section about how Palace are the most ridiculous team in the world. So I feel like of all the tour shows I'm doing, that's very primed for Brighton audiences because I know they'll enjoy that bit because we are a ridiculous team. But then every team's ridiculous. And you support them because they are ridiculous. And you support them through the mad moments, you support them through the great moments. And I think Palace and Brighton have both put their fans through a lot over the last 20, 30, 40 years. And so when the good moments come along, you've got to enjoy it, even if you are losing to Cyprus's best team, or, a tier six team in the FA Cup, greatest FA Cup shock of all time, the first time you've ever been told us of the FA Cup. But, whatever, it's Palace.
It is. Well, I mean, there are rumours, of course, that of course there are only rumours that you once spray painted a dressing room as well.
Spray painted is a way of Hey, listen, Eddie, we've all been there. We've all had a dodgy night. We've all
We've all
had,
been there. We've all been
mornings
there.
we didn't want to go through. I love that rumor because there's so many different. I heard it for years. We were told it was Charlie Oakway who had done it as some sort of protest,
We
and
knew
then
the
it
next
turned out.
day.
Honestly, the rumors.
Unfortunately, nobody told Gus Poyet that.
Oh, it's just so good. It's so Palace and Brighton, isn't it, for that to happen? I was told eventually it was the bus Palace's bus driver had a dodgy stomach. But again, that might not be true. It might have been Paddy McCarthy. We don't know who did it. It could have been anyone. It could have been Gus Poyet, and he was, feigning ignorance. Who knows? The legend lives on, and we love it.
Well, I mean, let's face it, Gus did have a permanent look of shocked on his face. So, I mean, it's like it is
Shocked at
something.
what he'd
But I
just
mean,
done on the
I mean,
dressing
like
room
I say, I
floor.
mean, yeah, I mean, obviously, you've had these wait. I see you. I know you've done a few of them, and you've vlogged them as well, which is fun, including leaving your laptop on the plane, which is helpful.
Oh, mate.
But I mean,
Honestly,
how? I
don't
mean,
have
how?
ADHD and get on a plane, I
I
would
mean,
say.
how
Don't
has
have
it been?
ADHD and get on a plane.
I mean, basically, bearing in mind most of the teams that you've played in that competition have been really high scoring at Scrabble.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
been,
I'm trying to think.
but I mean,
Lana
at the
can
end of the
hurt
day,
me any,
as
isn't
football fans, it's just nice to. I mean, obviously the journey we had was. I think we were in it in the right year. The last year that it was in the group stage, and the teams that we obviously had, obviously having Ajax and Marseille and like Athens, and then going to Rome for against Roma, those trips to Athens, Rome, Marseille, Amsterdam, it was just they were just absolutely wonderful. And it's just weird when you're walking around the city, and like for us in Rome, you're walking around this ancient mythical city with all this history and culture, and you walk around and go, Steve, Dave, all right, how you doing?
It's exactly what it is. It's basically it's like a normal away day, except 2,000 miles away from where you would normally be. I've been to Fredrikstad in Norway, which is beautiful. I would never. I've been to Lublin in Poland, beautiful. I would never go there. I would never have gone there. I went to Strasbourg. That was okay. I went to Larnaca in Cyprus, beautiful. Maybe I'd go there. Who knows? I do think you're right. After winning the FA Cup, we had dreams of the high profile games, the Romas, the Ajaxes of the world. And obviously what happened happened. And then, now we're playing, we played against Shelbourne, who were literally like a pub team, and their defender got a defender called Paddy Barrett, and the other League of Ireland fans sing that he's got 50 kids. And that's basically the only thing people know about Shelbourne. So the standard has been low, and we've not been brilliant. I mean, we lost to Larnaca, played Larnaca 3 times now. If I never hear about Larnaca again, I'll be absolutely delighted, especially as that's where I left my laptop as well. So it's not been kind to me. But you're right. It's more about the trip. It's more about the football's part of it, but it is more about that shared experience of being on this weird journey, this European journey that I never thought I'd be on as a Palace fan. And seeing those people you see in the away end, or sometimes seeing, I bumped into a school friend that I hadn't seen since I played for Oxford District under 14s in 1998. It's these lovely connections, and you guys will know as well. That's what makes these trips, and the football sometimes gets in the way of it, and many times for us, it has been
It's
terrible, terrible football.
a joke we've made many times. It's often any football match is often that a brilliant day out ruined by 90 minutes of football.
100%. 100%, and it was for us. Strasbourg. We missed 2 open goals. We weren't very good. But then, I got kettled by French police. Brilliant. I've never always wanted to be kettled by French police. It's
We
exactly
got
why I
gassed.
went. So,
We got tear
oh my
gassed.
God, that's the only thing missing from my trip. I didn't get tear gassed. That would have been fun. God, it's weird, isn't it? Football on the continent is so different. You hear all these stories, but it really is a different experience. But it's nice, I think it's great to sample these other cultures. We were drinking ouzo with Larnaca fans before the game. We'd literally just wandered to them. We get a photo, and they were like, "If you drink this," and so you're having these crazy experiences, and that's what being a football fan's all about, really.
Absolutely. But I mean, a lot of your work that you do with your comedy is about being a football fan and finding the funny, I guess, is a way of pulling it. And I mean, there's a lot of targets for you at the moment which are just too easy. One of those being Spurs, of course.
Oh yeah, I've got a whole bit in the show as a little like Spurs themed game show, which is just a chance for me to take the piss out of Spurs, which is great. I've got a lot in the show about how I need Arsenal to basically bottle the league, because if they win the league, I've got to cut so much of the show, because I've got so many jokes about Arsenal bottling things. Hopefully they will, and history will repeat itself. But yeah, there's some easy targets. Man United have got a bit better, which is a bit annoying, but there's still easy jokes about Man United fans being from London, etc. So there's loads of stuff. I've got this whole bit about football heckle comebacks where I get people to shout out their team, and then I do a sort of a light roasting of them. So, but I think that's all in the spirit of football. I think bring British football fans. We all like people taking the mick out of our team a little bit. It's a weird sort of bonding exercise. we all respect each other because we know that everyone, you know, barring maybe your top clubs, have been through similar experiences. We know that Palace and Brighton fans have. So that's what the show's about. It's about celebrating that connection, having a laugh with our, you know, at our own expense and other teams' expenses. And yeah, that's basically the theme of the show, which is kind of the theme of what I do online. So it's basically an extension of that.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot, particularly with your YouTube stuff, a lot of them are very, very short, aren't they? But they're until the point. I mean, there's a brilliant one that you've done about VAR, and it's interesting the referees that you've actually used in that. So tell us, and Tony Hart. Good old Tony Hart, God bless his soul, and Take Five is the song, I believe. Tell us about that.
I love doing the VAR stuff. Like the VAR, I mean, there was a spate a couple of years ago where there were just so many bad decisions. It just felt so easy to do stuff. And I think I called them Craig. I called the referees Craig after Craig Pawson, and Stuart. I think after Stuart.
No, it was Darren.
Darren after Darren England. There you go. But you could pick any of the current crop. I mean, they are just, I don't know what's going on with those refs. But I find if there's a big controversial decision, I can get on, do a little VAR sketch. And because it's like in the zeitgeist of something that's happened, then it normally does quite well. But I've got this, the referee top I've got, it's way too small for me. I got it like, I was working
at
Yahoo.
It's a Middlesex referee top.
I'm glad you spotted that. Basically, I was working at Yahoo on the sports desk before we had this World Cup show, and then I sort of did jokes on the show. The editor is a lovely bloke, I can't remember his name, but he was a former referee. And for some reason, in whatever, Middlesex, he'd brought this top in. We must have done a sketch or something. And then the show got cancelled, and then lockdown happened, and I just had all the kits, and I've never seen him since. So I just had this referee kit. So instead of buying one, I'll just use this Middlesex medium kit. So it's very skin tight. But it works for the sketches, you know. I mean, you're the only person I think that's noticed it's a Middlesex referee's kit. Hopefully, for most other people, it's just a referee's kit. But it's been perfect. And as soon as you see that in a sketch, you know this is going to be a joke about VAR. This is going to be a joke about refs. So hopefully, people get the theme immediately. Yeah.
You wouldn't know about this, mate. I mean, it's all about. It's called research. It's
yeah, I wouldn't know about that. No. I'm not.
But
I'm
I mean,
not,
I mean, you, not... I mean, you do have this thing that you do, and it's very weird for football fans, I think. But you seem to be comfortable wearing other team shirts, and not a lot of fans are.
Have you noticed? Though, I don't wear a Brighton shirt.
I've noticed. See, this is where my eagle eyes come in again. That you wear a Brighton tracksuit over a Chelsea top.
Yeah. It's just my one gag that I will keep doing and keep pushing.
Yes. I would. And I am the one person that's noticed.
To be honest, like, yeah, I've got no issue wearing shirts. And if I had to, for a sketch, wear a Brighton shirt, I would do it. It's not one of those things for me that bothers me. It's all comedy, you know. I would happily, you know, dress up as a rhinoceros, you know, a rainbow rhinoceros. I don't care, as long as it's for comedy. So I have had to sort of go through the years of buying a few shirts. I've built up quite a collection. I normally get them all vinted for like 10 quid, but I know some people think it's a bit weird. But I just think it adds to the sketches. And also I am, you know, if we're going to go on a tangent, I am a football shirt obsessive. Like I do have a huge collection. Vintage and eBay have been awful for my bank account, but I love a football shirt. So even if it is a random Brentford shirt or Southampton, I just like a football shirt. So it's slightly, leaning into a kink for me, I think, a little bit, in these shirts. But hey, no kink shaming here, and it is what it is.
I was going to ask you how many you have. I don't think you actually know, do you?
Last I checked, it was over 100.
Phases of
trying to sell them online, and then it doesn't.
I would point you in the direction of Phil Shelley and oldfootballshirts.com. And if you want to meet a football shirt obsessive, hello Phil, how you doing? All right.
But the thing of me and Phil could probably spend days talking about football.
Well, Phil actually has
never
a shirt.
To separate us.
Phil has a shirt room, which I think's got. It's in four figures of how many shirts there are in there.
Wow. Okay. That makes me feel better. I don't feel as bad now. I don't feel like I've got as bad a problem as Phil. So that's good. Thank you. Football Shirts Anonymous. Phil's completed it.
Well, I mean, he has got every single Brighton shirt through the history of those since they've been
Wow.
available, and it's been a labor of love. But of course, when he set up oldfootballshirts.com, which he no longer has, unfortunately, but the biggest collection of shirts actually on that website was actually Crystal Palace, believe it or not, and they're all match-worn shirts as
Really?
well. Yeah.
Wow. That means the Palace players are actively giving away their match-worn shirts, which says a little bit about playing for Crystal Palace.
I don't want this thing. Get it away
Get it
from me.
off. Get it
It's
off me. I don't
flammable.
want it.
It's flammable.
I can't believe I wore that pile of
Yeah.
crap.
Cool.
But objectively, and even as a Brighton fan, I'm sure you can admit, we've had some nice kits. Palace have nice kits. It's a
Yeah,
nice
I
colour
do.
scheme. And
I like the fact that your current kit is kind of based on ours. Well, the sleeves are anyway. It's blue.
oh, do you
You've
know
got
what?
a blue and white striped shirt. It's
The
like.
amount of people, Palace fans, that kicked off about that is exactly what they said. The shirt's bright, the sleeve's Brighton, the sleeve's Brighton. You can't get anything past football fans. You know, I'm sure when they made that, they obviously weren't thinking about that. But football fans will see things from the lens of a rivalry, or you know, and that's why we love football. But yeah, you're right. It is a Brighton sleeve, unfortunately.
But I mean, there's all sorts of things, other things you've taken aim at in your comedy career. One of the what have you got against Crawley?
Have you been to Crawley?
I sadly have been. Our women's football team play there.
So I grew up not far from Crawley. I grew up in a place called Edenbridge in Kent, not far from Crawley. And I just never enjoyed my time there. And when I was writing, that's so harsh. Sorry to anyone from Crawley. It's fine. It's fine. That's as much as I'm going to give it. When I was writing the 92 song, I was just, yeah, there's so many lines to write. When I came to Crawley, I was just like, oh. When I think about Crawley, I sort of think, ugh. And so that's where the line from Crawley
This
came.
is
And of
this.
course, then you have to stick with it. And that's been 10 years now of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, this has got a song that you did set to "We Didn't Start a Fire" by Billy Joel,
Yeah.
which is about out of date now. So, apart from what you said about Crawley, that's not going to change.
The problem is I have to do it every year. I have to. Well, I'm going to do the. I'm doing that song in the show. I'm going to open the show with it. Because it is my most popular song.
Okay.
But I have to change it every year. And some teams get an update and some don't. And some never get a little bit because of where it is in the song. And some constantly have to constantly keep thinking up new things. Burton Albion, for some reason, always fit into the thing where I need a line for them. But Crawley, there's a couple Crawley, Notts County, Fleetwood,
Where is
Drew
Fleetwood? Have you
Alexander.
found out where it is yet?
No idea. No idea. Never heard of it. Never heard of it. Doesn't exist. I think it's a state of mind rather than an actual
Stuart
place.
Fleetwood, he used to play for us.
Was he even real?
He
Was
was
he even
real.
real? Who knows?
He was, and he was fleet-footed as well. So.
Lovely. So anyway, I love doing that song. Like it, and the amount of people that come up to me almost every day and say they love the song. It's you get two types of people. Some of them will go, "Jim, oh Jim, love the stuff." And some of them will go, "Oh, you're that guy who did the song about the football teams." And I'm like, "Yeah, my name's Jim. Nice to meet you." But it's always really friendly. And I love hearing feedback about all the stuff I do, and people are always really, really nice. So yeah, but the 92 song is it's my legacy, AD. It's my offering to the world of football. It's my legacy. You're
Okay.
welcome.
You've got you're on tour. You're in 6 days, so you're coming to Brighton on the 30th of April, at the Comedia. You know which room you're in?
I don't actually, but I do know how many seats there are, and it is quite a lot. It's I think it's a 90-seater seat a room.
Right.
We've sold just over half, which is
That'd be the
great.
studio then.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they put me in the main room. Come on. What's Jim Daly doing
Yeah,
in the main
that's
room?
where we headline, Jim.
God damn it. You like to keep me humble, don't you, AD? You like to really keep me humble. I can't wait. It's going to be great. It'd be great to sell the rest of the tickets and have a nice full room. It's going to be loads of fun, loads of Palace jokes, loads of Brighton jokes. I think there'll be a fair amount of Palace down there as well, so we can have a real bit of fun with the audience. And have I told you though, the slight error that my agent made in booking this is that April the 30th at 8 p.m., which is when my show is the exact same time that if they get through to the semi-final of the Conference League, Palace will be playing the first leg of the semi-final.
Ouch.
And I gave my agent one job. One job. Don't book any tour dates over potential Palace games. And he's booked this at the exact same time that it sounds like Palace will be going to Poland to play against Shakhtar Donetsk. And I've been to every game so far, every away game, every home game. So it'll be the first one that I've missed. I'm tempted to just play the game on a big screen and force everyone to watch it. But I feel like there'd be a lot of requests for refunds after that. So we will persist. Maybe my agent can shout score updates from the side of the stage. But we will crack on anyway.
Well, you can always pray that you don't sell any tickets and it gets cancelled.
As if everyone just demands refunds they've got so far.
on that note, we've actually got two tickets to give away.
We do.
So basically, we have got a competition. We haven't talked about what the question is yet, but I will give you the question. So for a chance to win two tickets to see Jim's show, Match of the Daily at Brighton's Comedia on the 30th of April, just simply answer this question. What European competition are Crystal Palace playing in this season? So send your answers to the Albion Roar at yahoo.co.uk, and the deadline for this competition is the 22nd of April. So that's two tickets to see Jim Daly, Match of the Daily at the Comedia on the 30th of April. Send your answers to the Albion Roar at yahoo.co.uk. So thank you so much to Jim for joining us, and we'll see you again soon. And we'll choose the winner of that competition to win two tickets to see Jim Daly's Match of the Daily at the Comedia. I've seen Jim a few times before. He's great. It's not all Palace, in fact, hardly any of it at all. And like, he actually does a brilliant. If you go to his YouTube channel, he's got 187,000 followers. It's
that's more than Palace I've ever had.
And there's a brilliant thing where he absolutely completely sends up Cucurella, which is complete with curly wig, of course.
Of course.
But he does these like little short videos on there, which are brilliant.
They are very good, actually. Yeah.
They are really, really funny. So, his stand-up tour. Good luck to that. And
AD, I have to ask this question. Aren't we going to Wembley?
We're the famous Brighton of Albion, and we're going to Wembley. There is a possibility.
What happened then? How did this come about?
So the She-Gulls, our lovely women's team, they went to Arsenal. Obviously, they didn't play this game at the Emirates for some reason. I thought they were playing all of their games there, but they were at King's Meadow.
Not against teams like Brighton.
we played there earlier in the season. Mm. We went to King's Meadow, and Arsenal put out a very strong side, and our women's team beat them 2-0, and it was an absolutely barnstorming performance.
They were fantastic.
Across the board. I mean, from front and back. I mean, Dozy had to make some fantastic saves, but Arsenal, current Champions League holders, to go to and beat them on their own ground is a massive step forward.
Out, having watched the league game earlier this season at their place, now Arsenal won. Go figure. Arsenal won 1-0, but we absolutely battered them. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Although they did sort of like they didn't take their time with the Florians. They did actually do that properly. But yeah, I mean, notwithstanding the TV coverage was basically, might as well have been done on Arsenal TV, rather than BBC. But that particular game, I thought the Albion, we were absolutely brilliant, superb, and just couldn't. And they scored, funnily enough, by a deflected goal. I'll tell you what, the parallels between that particular game and the one not so long ago down here are a bit scary.
Yeah.
They scored by a Moody goal. The ref gave them everything. And yeah.
Yeah, but they've made it through to the FA Cup semi-final, where they will face Liverpool. Now, why the hell this isn't played on a neutral ground, I do not know.
Listen, just because of the tradition of the men doing it, I just don't think the competition is big enough. And when I say big enough, enough teams, I just don't think it's big enough. All I would say is that if we're going to have some sort of parity about it, have it over two legs.
Yeah, well, that would make more sense to do that, because I mean, it's
you could have it as long as it's not at Wembley. But yes, you could have it over two legs, absolutely, or you could have it at a neutral venue. I can't get too excited about. Let's put it this way: you enter the competition, you know full well that semi-finals are going to have home or away advantage. But in the grey scheme of things, it's it could be, it should be, maybe, but I'm not going to get excited about it.
But I mean, Liverpool are no slouches. I mean, they're currently, well, they're 10th out of 12 in the Women's Super League at the moment. But they're sitting on 17 points, 4 points behind the Albion, who are currently in sixth. So it's very congested that middle of the table, which makes
But the point
Liverpool's
is,
position looks it.
it's not Chelsea, it's not City, so it's winnable.
It is, and I think we would take a huge crowd to Wembley as well. I think it
Oh,
would
if
be
we got to the final, absolutely.
but let's not count our chickens
Yes,
just
quite.
yet.
But all I'd say is, but I think that the important point here is actually just brilliantly well done. Beating Arsenal at their place is quite an achievement anyway. Now, I know we did it last season at our place, last game of the season, I think it was. I think it was a 4-1 win or something. We scored the goal of the season. Brilliant. But yes, I think more than anything, and I hope it's not going to be a case of after the Lord Mayor's show. It just reminds me of the Rugby World Cup semi-final. I can't remember if it was last time or time before. England played New Zealand, played the game of their lives, absolutely brilliant, and then completely bottled it in the final. I just hope this is that kind of scenario doesn't happen because, like I say, Liverpool are beatable. This game is winnable, even if it's at their place. And so good luck to the Albion women.
One man who did take the Albion to Wembley is Roberto De Zerbi, and he has returned to the Premier League as trying to keep a lackluster Spurs side in the Premier League. They finished 17th last season. They're sitting 17th now. So that's consistent.
Yeah, it's good to know how, it's like I say, it's one basket case going to another basket case. I mean, what could go wrong? It's an interesting point. I mean, I know that we normally just talk about Albion stuff here. And I do take your point, as you said at the top of this, about his first home game is against us. But it took him 4 or 5 games to get his first win, which at the end of the day, given the gig he's taken over, is absolutely, totally, utterly irrelevant. But he's got 7 games to turn this round. And one would like to think, from his point of view, if he doesn't succeed, he won't be blamed. If he does succeed, he'll be a hero. But I'm more than happy if it takes him another 5 games to win a game. So,
Yeah, but I
what's
mean, if he
left?
goes down, he signed a 5-year contract, and
I think they
you.
all did, didn't they?
But well, I think he had a blank check. They wanted him. How much do you want? How long do you want? And that's basically what's happened.
Yeah, but
But I can't
that's not how
imagine. Can you
Spurs work.
imagine him managing in a championship? I just,
Well,
it
playing
just.
it's the whole thing of Spurs against Lincoln City in the Championship.
Well, that is a very distinct possibility, yeah,
Well, if
as a
Spurs go
league
down,
game.
because Lincoln are already up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Spurs. I mean, it just reminds me of the first games I ever remember as a lad. Chelsea playing Hereford or Chelsea playing York in the second division back in the late 70s. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. I think that he is another one. Now, he one part of his success story was that he took over from Graham Potter, who at the time had the team and the club very much on the up. De Zerbi has taken over under completely different circumstances. And so therefore we don't know how well or badly he'll do. I don't count the fact that he's not been here before.
No, and it's like he's had I think 17, 18 players away on international break, and basically his work is done on the training ground, and as Lewis Dunk once described it, the first 2 weeks as utter carnage. He's got his work cut out. I mean, they're going to be shell shocked, and I don't think they will be taking. You're not going to see full De Zerbi football this season from them. And is De Zerbi pragmatic enough to actually think, okay, I just got to get this over the line?
Well, the other point is that I don't know if it's along the lines of look at Potter at Chelsea, in as much as he had to take on a role where everyone else is going, well, who are you? What am I going to, and Chelsea was just the ultimate Bash Street Kids club. And Spurs, they've clearly got a lot of talent there, but they're not utilizing it. And who knows what the reason is? Is it the players? Is it their attitude? Is it the culture? Is it the management? Is it the board? Is it, the lack of plan, the lack of stability? I can't help thinking that, I mean, it just seems to be that every manager that comes in, and I'm looking at Rossini, for instance, at Chelsea. Yeah, he's made a shaky start. He's steadying the ship a bit, is they have that ego of I'm the one to sort this person out. It's, you know.
Yeah. But we all have these deserving shape, like glasses, like tinted glasses. And it's
Yeah.
like, and you know, we, for all the wonderful football, for all the brilliant man management and the way that him and McAllister hugged at the end of that Villa game, for all that wonderful stuff that that he actually did, there's still Luton Town, you know.
Oh, listen, there isn't a manager that hasn't got that kind of thing in their cupboard. And even the likes of Alex Ferguson and Bill Shankly and Bob Paisley and Brian Clough, of course they've all got those sorts of things in their cupboard. And the nature of De Zerbi ball was always about high risk, high reward. If it works, it's brilliant. I mean, if you say Luton, and we also say Everton, every, you know, sometimes we watch absolutely brilliant football, and if it was they were completely undone, it was horribly undone. We were going to win every game 4-3, or we were going to lose every game 5-0. That's just the nature of his football, and I think this is where people sort of turn their nose up at Hertz a little bit, because he's a little bit safer, he's a bit more conservative, he's not quite so gung ho. And that after the sort of the maniac De Zerbi ball we had, I think that upsets people, especially when it doesn't go right. Because when it goes wrong, it goes horribly wrong. But when it goes right, which is incidentally is more often than not, people don't necessarily pick up on that. You know, we're not winning games 4-5-0. They're 2-1 and things like that. For
Okay.
me, they're the 3 points.
Okay. Well, we await with a
Yeah,
worm on
yeah,
our
yeah.
tongue. We have bated breath to see how we do and whether we'll be returning. Well, obviously we're going there next week, but whether we'll be going there again next season. Now, this weekend, Al, we see Jean-Paul Van Hecke make his 100th Premier League appearance for us.
Does it?
Again, he will be. Having he will also be going to the States in the summer. And will he be at the Albion next season? That is the question.
Well, he's under contract to be with us. As I understand it, things are in train to make sure he does stay with us. I think that the point is that he's getting towards the peak of his career. I think he's what, 25, 26 now. He's got, well, I think as any player would say, you know, where is the grass green? And how many players? I suppose that if you say the likes of Correa, maybe Caicedo to a point, and maybe one or two others, their careers have prospered since leaving the Albion, but a lot really do flounder. So, how good is he? Well, we know he's very good. We know he's certainly World Cup class. We know that the Albion want to keep him, and I think everything is down to the extent to which Jan-Paul Van Hecke is felt wanted enough that he ends up staying enough. Is it money? Is it whatever the thing? Whatever it is that drives a person, you know, they will talk to each other about what's what. So, at the end of the day, when it comes to any contract negotiations, we have absolutely no idea. And until such time as the paper is signed.
Yeah. Now I know how you love Premier League stats, Al,
Oh,
because
God.
clearly football didn't exist until 2003. And it's but apparently if Danny Welbeck scores this weekend, he'll be level with Glenn Murray, who apparently holds a record of 13 Premier League goals in the season.
Righty ho. Well, he's got every opportunity to do so. And that's the nature of who he is and how valuable he is. He's clearly not, as we said many times, you know, although he seems to be getting better, he's not a 38 game a season, 90 minutes per match player. He just can't do it. But what he can do is help others and then just do the job himself. I mean, he seems to
Yeah.
score like most strikers in fits and starts.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I mean, I still think he's going to go to the World Cup, but I mean, having 3 weeks off,
oh,
and
it should do in the world of good.
it'd be good for him. And obviously, we've got no Lewis Dunk so this week, so.
I would like to think that, for instance, because we went into this international break with a win, and a very good win as well, by the way. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a neutral who went to that particular game,
The
And he
Liverpool game.
absolutely loved it for the Liverpool game, yeah. And he said he absolutely loved it. So we go into that on the back of, let's face it, was it 4 wins in 5 or 5 wins in 6? And then the Arsenal one where we should have got something anyway. Thank you, VAR. So the players, I'd imagine, are champing at the bit to actually for this last run in, for this final European push. And this break, especially those who didn't go anywhere, they'd have gone on holiday for a week or so, recharge their batteries. And let's put it this way, if we any game we play from here on in, and it's because they're not fit, is not an excuse.
No, but I mean, players want to be playing games, and as much as it's very nice for them to have a break, having the momentum and the hunger in their legs to get out there and the muscle memory of playing every week, this is pretty much like coming back from pre-season.
There is a touch of that. It feels like that, especially as the weather's getting nicer as well. And you think, oh, are we getting to summer yet? No, I totally get it. If it was the depths of winter, don't forget, most countries have their break, have a break in December, January, don't they? So, yeah, it's. I'd like to think that the players are really, really buzzing. Like I say, especially on the back of the most recent score lines that we've had.
So earlier we heard from Jim Daly. Just remember, for a chance to win 2 tickets to see Jim Daly's Match of the Daily at the Comedia on the 30th of April, simply answer the question of what European competition are Crystal Palace playing in this season? And email your answer to thealbionroar@yahoo.co.uk. We will announce the winner on the show on the 22nd of April.
22nd of April, yep.
And but with that is all we have time for this week. So thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with a regular show next week, hopefully talking about a win at Burnley. And until then, thank you to Alan Wares. I've been Ady Packham. This has been the Albion Raw on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. And we'll see you all again next week. Time away.